We're excited to announce that our very own podcasting platform, Zencastr, has become a new sponsor to the show. Check out the podcast discount link in our show notes and stay tuned for why we love using Zen for the podcast.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This is the CRM Archaeology Podcast. It's the show where we pull back the veil of cultural resources management, archaeology, and discuss the issues that everyone is concerned about. Welcome to the podcast. Hello and welcome to the CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode 173 for September 25th, 2019. I'm your host, Chris Webster. On today's show, I talk about masterminds. So get out your smoking jacket and scotch because the CRM Archaeology Podcast starts right now. All right, it's just me today. I'm recording this. It's going to be a shorter episode, but I wanted to talk to you about something because I actually heard this on another podcast. It's called Entrepreneurs on Fire with John Lee Dumas. And he was talking about masterminds. Anytime you listen to entrepreneur style podcasts, which I do because I run a business and I want to run a better business, then you always hear about masterminds. And first off, let's try to define that. So what a mastermind is, it's usually a mastermind group, and it's usually run or hosted by one person. They're kind of the controller of the mastermind. The good ones are very structured. Like if it's an hour long once a week, then there's a specific thing that happens first, a specific thing that happens second, and these are all timed, and it's designed to not waste your time and to maximize what you get out of it. So that's generally a mastermind. The other thing that more often than not defines a mastermind as cost. And usually they're very high cost. And one of the reasons for that is they will often rotate through big guests, people you wouldn't normally get to talk to, or people that have a high knowledge of the subject that, again, you wouldn't normally get to talk to. So you have the opportunity to learn from basically essentially for free, except for the cost you paid for the mastermind. But that could be negligible if it's over 12 months or something. And, you know, you get these curated talks and you get to specifically ask questions of people that it's just valuable information. So the other reason it has a cost is so you have a buy-in. Basically, it's you feel obligated because you spend money on this thing to actually go and do it, to show up every week, to contribute. Because even if you are the novice person in the mastermind, once you're there for a little while, you'll start to have opinions yourself. And if it's a flowing mastermind where people are coming in and out, those are generally bigger ones, then at some point you're going to be the one giving some advice and then you're going to learn from other people. And you have to decide when to leave the mastermind as well. So if you join a mastermind, you have to decide, well, when have I gotten all that I think I can get out of this mastermind? And if you think you're at that point where you can start giving back, well, then maybe you start your own mastermind or you just talk to the host about starting a splinter mastermind. Or you know, if the mastermind can only handle about 20 people, otherwise, you know, to give everyone a chance to speak, but you've got 50 people clamoring to get in, maybe you're the expert now and you can start your own mastermind along with the host and let another 20 people into a different mastermind. It's like anything you can think of in the world. You know, if you talk to 20 different people, you get 20 different opinions. So if you're trying to start a business or trying to, let's say for archaeology, get a job in CRM, you can talk to 20 different people and get 20 different ways that they did it and 20 different ways that they swear by. How many times have we heard that this is the only way things are done, or this is the best way to do something, or this is the way I did it, and therefore this is the way I always do it, and it always gives great success for me? Well, while those things are true, what's also true is there's no one way to do anything. We live in a world that's quickly teaching us that every single day, that no matter what you do, no matter what you're into, there are a dozen different ways or 10 dozen different ways to do the same task. And nothing taught me about that more in archaeology than just traveling around the country doing archaeology in different states. Every company I went to, they were like, oh, this is the way it's always been done and this is how we do it. And they don't even realize that just two counties over, they're doing it completely differently and it's still right. And I know all you shovel bums out there that have worked in multiple states can agree to the same thing. It's something you hear quite often. So let's get back to the topic of masterminds, though. The reason I'm bringing this up is, well, first off, along with being an archaeologist and the other things I do and running the Archaeology Podcast Network and my company Dig Tech, I also run a company called Chris Webster Productions, and I'm in the process of putting together basically a mastermind for that. I essentially kind of already have one, but I'm really just more solidifying it from a cost standpoint and a commitment standpoint. So for the last year and a half, I've been teaching podcast workshops once a month, and it's a 9-hour workshop that is called From Idea to MP3. And it teaches you from the beginning to end how to do a podcast, not just the editing, but also interviewing skills, vocal techniques, and editing and mastering and distribution, marketing, all those things that I've learned over the past 8 years as a podcaster. So I feel like some people, I just want to hit a different audience. Some people can come to Reno and do the workshop. Some people can't come to Reno and do the workshop, so they can do it virtually. But some people don't have 9 hours to spend in one day on this thing. And I'm putting together a course so they can take it self-paced. But in the meantime, I feel like others might just have a few quick questions. So they want to come join a mastermind for maybe a month and ask their questions, get their questions answered, maybe provide some value at the same time. Although that's preferred, but doesn't really matter because you are paying for the privilege to be there. So that's what I'm setting up. And I thought about this. Would this work for cultural resource management? Would it work for CRM? I think every week I get several questions, whether it be Facebook or email or whatever, from people that want me to look over their CVs. They want to ask about a job or an interview or something like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And another one of our hosts, Bill White, he gets the same thing all the time. And, you know, I'm like, well, maybe we just start these masterminds at different levels to basically crowdsource this information. So because I have answers to those questions. But as I said at the beginning of this segment, I don't have all the answers, and my answers might be different from your answers. So I want somebody to come in and say, what's the best way to get a job in Arizona, and have five different ways to choose from. And then they can pick what works for them and their particular situation. Or, you know, for example, somebody might come in and say, hey, my girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife and I are both archaeologists, and we're trying to find jobs together. How do you do that? I have a lot of opinions on that because my wife and I exclusively worked together for the first 6-7 years I was in archaeology before she got out of archaeology. Every time we'd apply for a job, we applied together, and it was contingent upon us both getting hired. And because of that, we had to work twice as hard because some companies only needed one person, but they didn't put that in their job posting. So we had to make sure that they knew they were hiring both of us. We submitted together with one cover letter, and that's how we did it. But there might be other ways to do it. We had a lot of success through that, but like I said, there might be, and there guaranteed are, other ways to do that. So my thought for the CRM masterminds is basically to have, and I'm looking over my whiteboard here, so my microphone's probably getting away from me, but basically have about four different ones because I can't ever do anything small. So when I thought about having getting a job in CRM mastermind, I thought, well, let's actually do like four of them. I mean, may as well take up literally all of my free time. So the first one I thought would be for students. And that is a real basic, you know, here's what you need to know about getting into archaeology. Here's the stuff you need to buy. I went to my first site and I didn't have a trowel. I bought a trowel that night at the Home Depot because I didn't know I needed one. You know, I went to field school, but I went to field school in Africa where other people did the digging for you. So you can't assume everybody's got the same experiences and the same educational level and understands what's going on. So if I can hit these people while they're seniors in college, and just instruct them and say, hey, in my experience, this is what you need. You know, maybe buy yourself your own vest, buy a trowel, buy a plumb bob, you know, wherever you're going to work, wherever you're going to need to be, buy these things, and then you'll have them. Buy good boots, buy good pants, buy good gloves, buy a hat, buy sunglasses. Stuff like that. So that would be the student mastermind. And I'm looking at, and again, these are hypothetical. So please email me, chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com, or tweet at archeowebby, ARCHEOWEBBY, if you've got some opinions on this stuff. But I was thinking the student one would be $20 a month. And I know students don't have any money, but this is for people who really want to level up and hit it first and get out there. And for me to commit my time and the time of the other guest hosts every week, and that's what I'm thinking, this will be weekly, but every week so they can answer your questions and get them done fast, we need you to be there. And I don't want to have me and two other people there and then have 10 people sign up for the mastermind. Only one showed up because it's free, right? And then maybe two show up next week. No, I want you to pay a little bit, $20 a month, and then pay quarterly as well. So you can commit to a 3-month chunk. Now, we might change that for the student side of things, but I'm thinking quarterly. So you pay $60 up front, no refunds. I don't care if you don't come to any of the masterminds, but no refunds. We will record every session and then make that available for you to watch at any point after that. And then when you stop being part of the mastermind, you stop having access to all that. So, and this would also include a Slack team. If you don't know what Slack is, look it up. We use Slack for everything at the APN. This would include being on a Slack team during the period where you're in the mastermind, so you can continue the conversation outside the 1-hour long sessions every week. So anyway, student, $20, $60 per quarter. And then field tech level, I'm thinking this gets more into the getting a job, working on crews, you know, hotels, all that kinds of stuff that new field techs need to know. And even experienced field techs might learn something from other experienced field techs. Because as I said, you kind of get into a routine and you don't realize that there's a different way to do things, or maybe some new technology or new thing out there that you weren't aware of that'll help you do stuff. So field tech, I'm thinking $25 per month and $75 for the quarter. Now, we're going to take a break here in a second and talk about the other two, but I got to tell you, the mastermind that the guy was talking about where I heard about this, John Lee Dumas, he took a mastermind before he started his podcast 5-6 years ago, and his mastermind cost him $3,500 for the year. Okay, and he had to pay that up front. And he's like, I didn't have that money. He said, I got a new credit card and I put it on that because I knew this would jumpstart me. And he ended up, he does these income reports for their podcast so other people can learn from them and hear how they're making money. And the last income report podcast I heard, because I'm a little behind on that podcast, was for April. And their revenue after expenses was $130,000 for the month of April. And this is all because of his podcast. So I'm not saying taking this mastermind will make you $130,000 a month, but it will jumpstart you ahead of your peers because they are not doing this. They're learning everything the hard way. They're posting on Facebook, which isn't the worst way to do things, but it's just you can't guarantee the answers, right? This would be curated. You know who's going to be there, and you can learn from each other, and it would just be a really beneficial situation at all the levels. So let's take a quick break, and then on the other side, we will come back and talk about the other two mastermind groups that I'm thinking about starting. Back in a second. Chris Webster here for the Archaeology Podcast Network. We strive for high-quality interviews and content so you can find information on any topic in archaeology from around the world. One way we do that is by recording interviews with our hosts and guests located in many parts of the world all at once. We do that through the use of Zencastr. That's Zencastr. Zencastr allows us to record high-quality audio with no stress on the guest. Just send them a link to click on and that's it. Zencastr does the rest. They even do automatic transcriptions. Check out the link in the show notes for 30% off your first 3 months, or go to zencastr.com and use the code CRMARC. Looking to expand your knowledge of x-rays and imaging in the archaeology field? Then check out An Introduction to Paleoradiography, a short online course offering professional training for archaeologists and affiliated disciplines. Created by archaeologist, radiographer, and lecturer James Elliott, the content of this course is based upon his research and teaching experience in higher education. It is approved by the Chartered Institute for Archaeologists as 4 hours of training. That's in the UK, for those of you that don't know. So don't miss out on this exciting opportunity for professional and personal development. For more information on pricing and course structure, visit paleoimaging.com. That's P-A-L-E-O imaging.com. And look for the link in the show notes to this episode. All right, welcome back. This is Chris Webster, CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode number 173. And we're talking about masterminds as they apply to CRM Archaeology. So the other two, as you can probably assume, we already talked about student and crew and field tech. So the next one is crew chief. And at the crew chief level, I'm thinking this covers more topics like leadership, Topics centered around project organization, just organization in general. What kind of tools can you use to help organize your field crews? Crew chief means different things in different parts of the country. We can talk about that as well. What about field techs that want to become crew chiefs? This isn't just for crew chiefs. This is for people that want to work at the crew chief level or are working at the crew chief level and want to level up a little bit. Okay. And this is different from just watching videos too. Videos are very specific, but I want to answer specific questions. And the videos can't really do that. You know, I'm still going to do videos for people that want to do that sort of thing. But, what I really want to do is answer specific questions and find answers. Like if you ask a question one week and we don't know the answer, none of the assembled experts know the answer or experienced people, then we can find out the answer and then come back next week and have that answer for you. Okay. So the crew chief level, again, bumping up in price because it's bumping up in responsibility level, $40 per month or $120 for the quarter. Now that might sound like a lot of money to a lot of you, and I don't blame you, but I think that you probably would only need it for maybe one quarter, okay? You just 3 months at a time and you're done. Maybe you can get all the information you need in that amount of time. The next level, company owner slash principal investigator. I put these two together because in a lot of circumstances, the company owner is the personal principal investigator. And when it's not, there's a lot of similar concerns. Now, we might start a separate one just for PIs because there are a lot of big companies that have PIs that obviously they don't care about any of the business aspect of things. From the standpoint of starting a business, obviously there's proposals and contracts and business that you have to worry about as a PI. But as a company owner, we would talk more about setting up and maintaining a company, human resources, payroll, you know, workers' comp issues, stuff like that, disciplinary issues, promotional issues, or benefit. Well, not promotional, but what word am I thinking of? Like benefits, I guess. Not benefits like health insurance, but should you throw a holiday party? Should you call it a Christmas party? Should you call it a Kwanzaa party? Should you, you know, what are the things you need to do? I know one thing that I did when I was running a big project down in California is I really felt that crew morale was always lowest at the end of the session, of course. Of course, it's high right at the last minute of the session because everybody's quitting for 4 days when we're working 10 on 4 off. But right at the end of the session, everybody's like, man, I've been working for 8-9 days. I just want to get off and go break. And I don't want to see these people ever again. But in order to try to keep that higher and keep our rapport together, because a lot of times the crews were split up and we weren't all together, the sessions ended on a Thursday, every Wednesday night, just in case people left Thursday after work. But every Wednesday night, I took the whole crew out to dinner. And it cost the company about, you know, $200 to $300 every single time because we were in Ridgecrest. It wasn't that expensive, even though we got like appetizers and drinks and stuff. But it was a really fun thing to do. And I think we all got a lot out of it. I wasn't looking for any sort of gratitude. I wanted people to hang out together and outside of a work setting and have fun just with each other, right? And enjoy each other's company because we have to live and work with each other. And when it's all work, 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 then that sort of clouds the relationship. And I didn't want that. So, but discussing those kinds of things, what do other companies do? You know, what do they do to increase morale? What can you do? Some of that stuff applies at the crew chief level, of course, as well. But anyway, that's what I'm thinking. And the company owner one would be $100 a month or $300 per quarter. And again, purchasing everything on a quarterly basis. And this one in particular is a super high value because you can see leadership masterminds out there and masterminds of this nature costing well over $1,000 to $5,000 per year. So it's or even for a shorter period of time. I mean, it's really high end stuff. You hear those business coaches and life coaches. I mean, they charge through the nose because you're getting this one-on-one sort of detail. Masterminds are usually a little bit less depending on how the mastermind is run. Well, these are a little bit less because you're in the group with other people and it's not one-on-one, but you're still getting a high amount of value. So as I mentioned, if you're interested in something like this, send me an email, chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Just send me a thumbs up. I just want to know, is this something that people would actually be interested in? Because I'm not doing this to I'm not doing this to make money. I mean, obviously it's a leg in my financial stool keeping me afloat, but I'm doing it as a way to give back. I've thought of lots of different ways, from this podcast to my blog, my book. I always want to find ways that find a different audience and allow that audience to gain something from my experience and knowledge and the experience and knowledge of my colleagues and friends that are in this business. So this might just be one more way. I mean, perhaps you learn better from reading a book. Perhaps you learn better from reading a blog. Do what you got to do. But other people learn better from learning from other people and from asking those questions. And like I said, it doesn't fit everyone's style. Some people are just, they don't want to talk. They don't want to get online on a Zoom call and be there and be exposed and be vulnerable, which is totally fine and understandable. That's why I want to have multiple outlets for you guys to be successful and find this information. So I think that's about it for this podcast. Very short episode this week, but we will bring you another great episode next week. We're also looking for some more people to join the podcast. I hate to be gender specific, but we need the opinion of all the fantastic women archaeologists out there. And I want to hear from you guys and see if any of you are interested in coming on as a co-host of the podcast, because the Sierra Mark podcast has always had at least one woman on it, sometimes two. I wish more, but it's just a matter of who we can find and who's willing to commit to the schedule. And Sonia, who is a company owner out in Utah, is just super busy right now. So she hasn't left the podcast, but we haven't heard from her in a while, which is great because it means she's working and her company is being successful and doing all those things. And I want to get her into the mastermind. So we'll hear from her there, hopefully. But I would love to get some others out there, preferably ones that are either at high leadership levels, because that means you've had a lot of field experience. Typically, unless you work in the Southeast, it's kind of an inside joke, but, so I'm looking for company owners. I'm looking for PIs, project managers, people who have had, enough experience that they can join this fantastic team at the Sierra Mark podcast and help us out and, you know, be there once every 2 weeks. We record at 2 PM on a Sunday, every other Sunday. And it's not a very high commitment. But it does mean that we would like to see you there more often than not. So if you're interested in that, again, the same email address, chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. I will send you a link to set up a short call with me so we can talk about just you and the podcast and what the expectations would be. And then we will go from there and see if it's a good fit. We might just bring on his guest host for a couple times and see if you like it. That's how Bill Ochter got on. I actually met him at the SAs one time, but I did some work with his company and we eventually brought him in as a guest a couple times and then he became a host. So in fact, I think that's how Sonia got on too. So anyway, Chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com, as I stated again, let me know if you're interested in these masterminds. Let me know if you got other ideas for outreach and for really just getting people this information in the easiest and quickest way and most efficient way possible. Workshops are great. Conferences are great, but they're very limited and they're very exclusive. Not everybody can make these things in their physical form. Videos are great, but they're really hard to put together. They take a lot of time. Blog posts are great, but again, they take time, and not a lot of people have the time to go find them and read them and do these things. So I'm thinking a 10 to 20 person limit on the mastermind. And if we get people knocking down the door that want to come in, then we'll just start another one. But I'm thinking 10 to 20 people maximum, probably 10 to start out with, so we can get our bearings straight on this thing. But we'll do that, and then we'll start it going. I'm thinking about starting this around mid-October. So, and I'm also thinking about starting it for the first this first crop of mastermind cohort as free. So I just want to get you guys in the door and start you off with a month free, and then just see how it goes, because you shouldn't have to pay for my experimentation. I mean, I've taken masterminds. I've taken some of the podcasts and business entrepreneurial ones. So I know what to expect. And I'm pretty sure I know how to do this to make it effective. So, all right, Chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork. If you're interested in any of that, or if you're interested in looking at hosting opportunities, if you've got guest suggestions, same email address, Chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. And of course, you heard an ad earlier. We are openly seeking new advertisement to keep the APN afloat. 5 cents per download, which is pretty great. And you get on all our back catalog episodes too. So if you have job announcements that you want to put out there for your company, you can actually put that on our podcast. For you can just say, I want this job announcement to be on every show in the APN for a week, and it will be on every show in the APN for 1 week and then fall off. And then you can call us and say, hey, take it off there. Maybe you only used 300 of the 500 downloads you bought or something like that. You know, we'll bank those downloads for you later. Okay. So, because maybe somebody took the job and you want to take the announcement down. Perfectly fine. The nice thing about this advertising platform is we can also put it on the back catalog, and we get a lot of hits on our back catalog. Somebody just listened to, I think it was episode 12 of the CRMR podcast, that poor soul, just a couple weeks ago, because I happened to be looking at metrics and it brought that one up. And I was like, my God, somebody listened to that old show. That was like 7 years ago. But they now have current ads on them. So we're able to do that through this new platform that we have. So, all right, that's it for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And again, we'll be back next time. And hit me up at that email address if you've got any suggestions, comments, or concerns. That's it for another episode of the CRM Archaeology Podcast. Links to some of the items mentioned on the show are in the show notes for this podcast, which can be found at www.archpodnet.com/CRMArchPodcast. Please comment and share anywhere you see the show. If you'd like us to answer a question in a future episode, email us. Use the contact form on the website, or just email chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Support the show and the network at archpodnet.com/members. Get some swag and extra content while you're there. Send us show suggestions and interview suggestions. We want this to be a resource for field technicians everywhere, and we want to know what you want to know about. Thanks to everyone for joining me this week. Thanks also to the listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you in the field. Goodbye. This show is produced and recorded by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, in Reno, Nevada, at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and for supporting the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you want these shows to keep going, consider becoming a member for just $7.99 US dollars a month. That's cheaper than a venti quad eggnog latte. Go to archpodnet.com/members for more info.